Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking, but no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Get the latest line movement and edges to beat the spread and much more right here on 1300 The Bet. The Bet, Baltimore's home for wagertainment. Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
So who is this? This Lil Kim, right? The Bentley, Sabana, the Benz, Escalades, 23-inch rims. Who is this song? Yeah, it is Lil Kim. Yeah, I got that right. Yeah. Anyway, 1% of the audience knows that. I don't know. This segment on You Better You Bet, sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting small businesses with affordable coverage options. Get a quote today at progressivecommercial.com. East Coast, West Coast, worldwide. Joining us right now, we might start calling him Worldwide Anthony DeBundo. My guy's everywhere, including, like, I said to Bill yesterday when we were talking on the phone, I was like, how many times did DeBundo come on the show while I was on vacation? Like, 8. We appreciate your dedication to the cause, my friend. Doing an awesome job with our friends at The Ringer, covering the World Cup and all things sports. What's going on, buddy? Happy semifinal week to you and yours.
Well, you had JJ filling in for you. I got to support my guy. Got to come on, do some soccer. And always during the Mundial, you know, we don't take vacations during the World Cup here on this end of the show. So I had to give you crap for that one.
I did get a text from DeBundo like the first day of my vacation. Like, how are you taking off during the World Cup? I said, because I would like to survive football season. That's why.
I get it. You have bigger fish to fry than the World Cup. But you know what? You're here for the business end. It's semifinal Tuesday and Wednesday. We've got the four best teams, maybe, I think, playing each other. The four most compelling teams, certainly, throughout this tournament. And you know what? Cape Verde, Switzerland, Colombia. We had fun with those teams. But now, let's be real. Like, this is what we want to see, right?
Put this Final Four in perspective for everybody and how good it is.
It is very rare that you don't have a gate crasher, right? Almost certainly in the last few World Cups. You go back 4 years ago, we had Morocco and Croatia in the semifinals. And it made for, you know, a little bit of a coronation of France and Argentina as they rolled their way into the final. And everybody kind of knew, okay, it's just going to be France and Argentina. We've seen, you know, 8 years ago when Croatia pulled off the upset against England, that we've seen, you know, semifinals that haven't always lived up to the hype. You go back to Netherlands, Argentina, who played out a terribly boring 0-0 in 2014. So just because you get big teams doesn't always mean you're going to get a great match. But I find it hard to see a world where these are not two really compelling, evenly matched matchups. And like I was doing my numbers on this, I have England at 54% and I have Spain at 51% roughly to win these. Like, everything is on the table in these semifinals.
Let's talk about the betting market for the Spain-France game coming up tomorrow. Now, I it feels like you and I always go head-to-head in these international tournaments when we get down towards the end. So I've been a France guy from the start. You've been to Spain. We won't have to talk about the fact that I had Spain in Euros and you had the Dutch. We don't have to talk about that. But we will go mano-a-mano again here with France versus Spain. And I've been on France the whole tournament, the only team I bet to win it. At BetMGM right now, when you were talking about another domestic sports book off air that we don't have to mention because BetMGM sponsors the show, where France is an even bigger price against Spain. And at BetMGM, France is -150, and I think France is going to win, DeBundo, but that feels really rich to me, where I think this is close to a coin flip. And based on your numbers, you agree here, right? So, like, betting advice, I guess, is to bet Spain in this game, no?
The tail of the tape is fun for a matchup like this because, look, schedules have been relatively even now. I'd argue, actually, with playing Portugal and Belgium, who, you know, aren't exactly teams I was high on personally, but teams that the market rates highly. Spain had to play, you know, a tougher round of 16 opponent and a tougher quarterfinal opponent once you factor in that Morocco had a few key injuries there. So once you factor in the whole schedule, it comes out pretty much in the wash. France expected goal difference, plus 10.5. Spain, plus 9.9. Those two numbers are so comparable and basically even over the course of six matches that you really couldn't draw a meaningful conclusion from it. You look at whose defense has been better. You would say Spain. France has been incredible in the knockouts, but had some cracks in the group stage. Again, against some of the better attacking teams they played. So you're like, okay, who's created more big chances? I think that's why there's a perception that France has been the better team in this tournament, because they've been the sexier team. They scored and won by more margin. However, I'll make the case that like France winning, whether you beat Paraguay by three or one or Sweden, doesn't really matter once you get down to playing the best teams, because these games are not going to be decided by super wide margins. And Spain has kind of built their tournament around prioritizing the fact that if we literally never concede, we can't lose. And that's been the case. And they have had a couple of games, certainly, where they've looked a little sluggish in attack, relied on some late goals, but they've been in such control of these games, they've never actually been in doubt. So just because the score lines aren't as sexy doesn't make Spain a worse team. Now, the other thing, and this is the reason I think the market sees what has gradually moved toward France, is that Lamine Yamal is not playing right now at the level that Kylian Mbappe and Michael Olise are playing at. So you're naturally going to say, well, who do we think can be a match winner in an even game? You would definitely draft France's players first. And so that's why France is the favorite.
If Spain win tomorrow, I know you think Spain's going to win, and I like France, but I'm not like Spain could easily win this game. If Spain wins, how does it happen?
It happens with the boa constrictor Spanish possession, the old school classic that they've been able to pull off. And look, like these two teams have played the last 2 years. I know like the World Cup hasn't happened in many, many years, but in 2024 at the Euro semifinal, we loved Spain, right, in that game against France, and they rolled them. I mean, it was a 2-1 win, but the second half of the game, Spain playing with a lead had 61% of the ball and basically said, we keep the ball, you can't get it off of us. And then in the Nations League, France did make some changes. They went with a more aggressive lineup, and Spain said, oh, okay, nice, we were going to score 5 goals. Now, Spain is not operating right now at the level, attack-wise, that they were at those two tournaments. That is certainly true. Yamal and Williams. Williams is barely playing. He's probably going to play like 30 minutes off the bench here. Yamal is playing full 90s, but looks like to me he's at like 85%, and he's, you know, not looking like he's explosive. But some of the lacking explosiveness of Lamine is also a part function of the fact that they are trying to control matches so much. They are literally going to try to play keep away from France. And Morocco had some moments where they were able to get the ball and keep the ball, and they had a majority of the possession in the game. They lost 3-0, which is very rare. Spain can do that, but also keep the ball better and also create some attacking chances out of it and also defend better when they lose the ball. So we know Spain winning this game probably entails them having 55, 56, 57, 60% of the ball and saying, France, you can't attack us if you never have the ball. That's the plan. France's press, just okay.
True or false, and why? The winner of France-Spain wins the World Cup. Like, tomorrow is the final.
I would say it's true, but I would caution people, and this is a comp that I think is kind of funny, because I think there's a lot of comps between this and the NBA playoffs. Right? I mean, England is the Knicks, right? They haven't won it in forever. They've got the narrative behind them. They've got the feel-good vibes.
The new manager.
Not as talented. Yes, all these things. And OKC, right? They're the deep stack team with the MVP. That's Mbappe in France. Then you've got the newcomers, Spurs, Lamine Yamal, and they're trying to usurp them as the best team in the world. And France is the favorite. But you're like, well, but Spain, you know, they're pretty good. And then they're like, but whoever wins OKC Spurs, like, they got the final. And the betting odds for the final will be pretty close to what the odds were for Spurs Knicks. Whoever wins this game is probably going to be just as big of a favorite. And, like, I'm not saying that I think England is going to win the World Cup, but I'm saying that, like, I don't know, people tend to be overconfident in, like, a contest that's, like, 63-37 or, like, 66 to, you know, they're like a 2-1 favorite. Okay, but like those teams lose all the time. We literally just watched it happen.
Is Brunson in this scenario Kane or Bellingham?
I would say he has to be Bellingham.
So who's
Bellingham's
Kane?
Been the moments guy. Yeah, I don't know. That you know, that gets a little too deep Because then you start looking around, you're like, okay, well, England has the two stars, and the Knicks only really have the one.
Yeah,
and then like a series of collection of others. But yeah, I would. I don't know. He's not Cat. That would be a little disrespectful to Harry Kane, I think.
I think even Ananobi's disrespectful to Harry Kane, right?
Yeah. So it doesn't really. And then, like, we can't really talk about it. We need, like, the Warriors to come into the picture for, like, the Argentina comp to work.
Well, actually, my comp earlier in the show was France is the Warriors. 18 was 15, right? 22 was 16, and now this is 17, and Olise is Kevin Durant in this instance.
Yeah, he comes in and just puts them over the top. Yeah, that's it's a good comp. I mean, Olise after Leo
behind.
Messi. So, Leo Messi.
Okay.
I
think Bellingham's been the best player of the tournament.
No, I can't. Bellingham is a fascinating player. And I wrote about this in my preview, which is up at theringer.com now, or will be up in a matter of moments. He is a very unique player, and it is the perfect player that creates a lot of debate amongst the like deep in the weeds people, and then the people who are watching it from afar, because he has these incredible. He's a moment.
God, is this like Jaylen Brown? I can't goals. Do this. Like, are you? If I have to hear about like VORP or DVOA or like EPA or anything, right? I can't.
He's a number 10, right? He plays in that spot where you traditionally get a lot of creativity for others, and he doesn't do any of that. He's like a pretty good. Central
that's okay. He just wins the game. It's okay. He just wins the game.
Right.
No problem.
Right. He has the. He's a moments player. That's why you have to have him out there. That's why Tuchel like secretly doesn't like him because he doesn't really fit into the system. But he's like, I gotta play him. He's too good. He makes plays like he did. And you can tell they don't really like each other either. It's a very fun dichotomy. But he's a unique player. He's not a traditional 10 in any sense. He's closer to like a striker, but also a midfielder. He's always around in the penalty area. And honestly, England's worst 45 minutes of the whole, maybe of the whole tournament, were the second half against Norway when they brought Eze in. Eze played in that role that Bellingham had occupied. Bellingham dropped deeper, and they totally lost control of the match, and they couldn't keep possession, and Norway was taking it to them and created the better of the chances in the second half. So like, it's a weird player that you kind of have to tactically fit for. But yeah, like the moments are insane. He makes these marauding runs into the box. He's more athletic than most of those guys. And he's incredible with the ball at his feet. So you're like, well, you got to have him out there. But, you know, the Leo Messi has been the best player.
Anthony DeBundo on the Ringer on the show. At Anthony DeBundo has been amazing covering the World Cup for them. But you know what? You know, there's no great Beatles song called Hey Leo. So I'll take you.
That's
Bellingham.
True.
I'm guessing, dude, every time Bellingham and I bet on England, I'm just like, hey, Jude, it's the best. I'm guessing
take
you
a
agree.
Sad song.
Dude, I'm singing Wonderwall to myself when England take the lead against Norway. It's so good. I'm guessing you agree. I put this on social media. People get mad because it's social media. I think Argentina. And I don't mean this disrespectfully. I think Argentina is clearly fourth of four here. Not that they're terrible. I just don't think they're as good as the other three. I love England. Like I think France is going to win the tournament, but I'm more confident that England wins in this round than I am that France wins. You're nodding. You like England also. Why do you like England against Argentina? How do you see the game playing out on Wednesday?
Yeah, I mean, look, like the strength of schedule is vastly different here. I mean, having to play Norway in Miami in the extreme heat, having to play Mexico at the Azteca, they had the tougher group with Croatia in the first match. They have shown ceilings that Argentina has not come close to in this tournament. Now, I will say that like England has not exactly been consistent. I mean, they struggled with Congo for the first half. They barely survived a situation in Mexico. They, again, in the second half against Norway on Saturday, were pretty mediocre again. And like just ask Thomas Tuchel. He'll tell you. Don't ask me. Ask Thomas Tuchel. He'll tell you how disappointed he was in the performance at some points of this tournament. But, you know, Argentina hasn't played a team close to this. I mean, Argentina was outplayed for the first hour and 5 minutes before the Embolo red card pretty solidly. Switzerland was tilting the field on them. They controlled the possession. And it's one thing if you're doing that with a lead, you're up 1-0 and you're like, okay, we want to sit here. But they weren't creating anything in transition. They weren't creating anything at all. And then once Switzerland puts the goal in, I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, like they should probably be a toss-up to advance here. Then the red card happens and the game changes and yada yada. But where's the period where I'm supposed to be impressed by Argentina? Because the only good attacking minutes they played in this knockout were the last 20 minutes against Egypt and like a handful of minutes against Cape Verde late on in that match. And both times it was Leo Messi basically putting the team on his back, turning back the clock and becoming a wide forward because they realized that they have no width on attacking or defending. And so it's like, okay, Messi can like in a break glass in case of emergency moment, hop over there, create some chances, combine, create more space for the other players to cook in the middle. But that doesn't work against a team as good as England for 90 minutes. That's like a, we can do this to scrape by against Cape Verde and Egypt and Switzerland when they're down a man, right? So I just don't think it works. And England has the wingers to take advantage of Argentina not having any depth on or width. Like Dan Doy and all these Swiss guys, were cooking them. Like I think it's a big Anthony Gordon game. I think it could be a good Saka game if he comes off the bench. There's a lot of advantages the more and more I dig into this matchup for England. And the one advantage for Argentina is they have Leo Messi. And he has the ability with his set pieces where England has struggled defensively with his left foot to just decide games. And maybe he can do it one more time, but I certainly think it's more likely that England is just the much better team with more match winners and they win this match.
Now, let's just say, final thing here. France beat Spain. Argentina beat England. And we get the France-Argentina final for the second consecutive World Cup. France wins that game like 4-1, right? Like France destroys Argentina if that's the final. Destroys them.
It's so funny because there is revisionist history on the last final. Because Argentina destroyed France for 75 minutes.
And then Mbappe did what Mbappe does and pulled it out and got it to extra time and got it to penalties eventually. But Argentina did not. Is it fair to say Argentina dominated that game? Is that fair?
Oh, my God. Yeah, France's first shot didn't come until the second half.
Do you remember when that game was played? It was on an NFL Sunday morning. I was on the air doing You Better You Bet's countdown to kickoff while I'm sweating a massive pre-tournament wager on Argentina to win the World Cup. That was a great day.
I mean, it was one of the greatest sporting events of my life. I'm not sure we'll ever top that in terms of soccer games. Like the finish, the last 45 to an hour of that match was...
The Messi and Mbappe going shot for shot, basically. It was sick.
And so here's the thing. Like, France is the better team. And I felt Argentina was the better team going into that final 4 years ago.
Yep, agreed.
Guess what? Like, again, these matches are not decided by a whole lot. And so I think France would be the clear favorite. But would you be shocked if, like, Martinez stood on his head?
Yes.
Messi had a moment of magic. And it was 2-2 going into extra time?
Yes. If Argentina beat France, I would be... That is... I'd be pretty surprised if England beat... I guess England's got the ceiling to be able to do it. I don't think it would happen, but I would be shocked if Argentina beat France.
I don't know if England has the gas. Like, that's the thing for me. Like, they look like they're going to run out of gas in any moment. I'm hoping that's not Wednesday, but, like, you know, France and Spain certainly had to exert themselves a lot less and have more depth. If you wanted to be critical of Tuchel, like, he didn't take the deepest squad here. So, like, France and Spain have depth and numbers. I mean, Cherki, Barcola, Spain's bringing Marino and Williams off the bench. They have Zubimendi. Like, the depth of those teams are way deeper than what England and Argentina has right now. And they'd have to exert themselves less. So you just feel like they'll be fresher on Sunday. And that probably adds to the advantages. But again, it's one soccer match.
Spain has Marino, maybe in relation to Dan, and he just comes in and scores goals and wins games every single game. It's unbelievable. We gotta split here and take a commercial break. You're the best. And Anthony DeBundo, who's been killing it all World Cup long. I'm happy for your success, my man, and we'll catch up soon.
Absolutely.
Our friend Anthony DeBundo joining us here on You Better, You Bet More show on the other side.
We know you're jonesing for some football just like we are. NFL training camps begin opening in 9 days. And yes, we're counting. You're home for the NFL. Westwood One Sports.
Hey, I'm not one to say I told you so, but do you remember last year when I told you that Pure Talk was hands down the best wireless company that I'd ever used? Well, some of you were skeptical, but Consumer Reports just asked 120,000 people to rate every wireless company in America, including the big boys. Well, guess which company was the only company to get 5 stars in every category? Yeah, Pure Talk. Coverage, support, value, data. 5 stars across the board. No service contracts, no cancellation fees, just great U.S. customer service on a crazy fast 5G network for a fraction of what you've been paying. I'm not going to say I told you so, but I will encourage you one more time to dial #250, say micro, and switch to a 5-star American wireless company that won't let you down. Pure Talk.
And the match is about to begin.
Most of the team is out with COVID-19, so there'll be some substitutes tonight.
What's this? We have an unexpected guest on the field.
It's a dog, but they could do with extra players.
She's going for the ball.
Are front paws, hands or feet?
Soccer season is full of surprises, and COVID-19 could be one of them. If you test positive, prescription medications may help. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Learn more at PfizerForAll.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Drip Drop is doctor-developed, proven fast hydration that helps your body and mind work better. Trusted by firefighters, medical professionals, and over 90% of top college and pro sports teams, Drip Drop is engineered to hydrate faster and more effectively than water alone, with three times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks. Stock up now at DripDrop.com and use promo code Radio20 for 20% off your first order. That's DripDrop.com, promo code Radio20 for 20% off your first order. Head to DripDrop.com now and use promo code Radio20.
Westwood One Sports presents this World Soccer Update, sponsored by Liberty Mutual. Only pay for what you need. The three teams who've won the most World Cups are Brazil, Germany, and Italy. They're gone. Brazil and Germany went out in the knockout rounds, and four-time champion Italy didn't even qualify. But next on the list is Argentina. Their title 4 years ago was its third ever. The first was back in 1978 as the host nation beat the Netherlands 3-1 in the final. Mario Kempes, two goals. Another title came 8 years later in Mexico City, beat West Germany 3-2. Diego Maradona scored five World Cup goals, including a controversial one, the so-called Hand of God goal. That was in a quarterfinal victory over England, and that's the semifinal matchup Wednesday in Atlanta. Argentina comes in having won three straight very tight games. England also, its last three wins, all by just one goal. France and Spain begin the semifinals tomorrow afternoon in Dallas. With this World Soccer Update, John Stanchaler, Westwood One Sports.
And Doug.
Hot dog! Get your hot dog!
Customize! Customize and save with Liberty Mutual.
Hey, what are you doing?
I like your method. Direct. To the point. A little loud, but...
Listen, people don't buy car insurance the same way they do hot dogs.
Not yet, but both are customizable.
Popcorn! Get your popcorn!
Hey, this is a hot dog area.
And... customize and save area. Get a quote at libertymutual.com or with your local agent.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
When you see this in your kitchen,
the stainless steel fridge is covered in fingerprints.
You hear this.
Leslie, people are going to think you were raised in a barn or by wolves, or raised in a barn by wolves.
Fortunately, Wyman Stainless Steel 3-in-1 cleans, shines, and protects to give you the best shine. A spray and a wipe will have your fridge shining like a mirror.
Wow, my fridge looks brand new.
Your fridge looks amazing, Leslie. Sorry, I was being a little dramatic earlier.
Your kitchen says a lot about you. Let it brag with Wyman.